May it please the court, my name is Anthony J. DiCola. My registration number is 5598. As I know the court has read the briefs, I would just remind the court of the facts of this case. Dylan Zweigart was driving a vehicle. Okay. He ran a stop sign and he hit the Salazar family who was in a T-boned him. When he hit them, he killed Daniel. Daniel was killed as a result of the collision. Yanira, who was the mother, was seriously hurt and later died. And Vivian had a broken collarbone. Mr. Zweigart had a passenger with him, Ms. Toft. We went to trial, and the main issue at the trial, the big argument that we had with the court, that I had with the court, was whether or not careless driving causing bodily injury was a lesser included offense of vehicular assault. The court found that careless driving causing death was a lesser included offense of the vehicular homicide charge, but the judge declined and refused to give an instruction that careless driving causing bodily injury was a lesser included offense of vehicular assault. The
counsel, am I correct that careless driving is the offense and that death or injury is our sentence enhancers?
The exact way the statute reads, Judge, is that if the person's actions are the proximate cause of bodily injury to another, such person commits a class one misdemeanor traffic offense. So I'm not sure if that means it's a sentence.
The crime is defined in the first section of it.
Crime is defined in the first section. The jury found with regard to Yanira Salazar that Mr. Zweigart was careless. He carelessly caused her death. With regard to the Daniel who was killed, the jury found that Mr. Zweigart carelessly caused his death. The jury then went on to find that Mr. Zweigart recklessly caused Yanira Salazar's injuries and recklessly caused...
You're talking now with respect to the assault convictions?
Yes, I am. Recklessly caused Yanira Salazar's injuries. So what the jury found at various times was that Mr. Zweigart was careless, that he was negligent, and that he was reckless. They found that at various times with various people in the same car. The statute on lesser included offenses says when a defendant may be convicted of an offense included in an offense charged in the indictment information, and if an offense is so included when it is established by proof of the same or less than all the facts required to establish the commission of the offense charged, or the difference in the offense charged only in the respect that a less serious injury suffices to establish its commission. So, I submit, I checked the people's brief while I was waiting in my car to come in, and the people did not even comment on People versus Chapman, which is a Colorado Supreme Court case from 1977. People versus Chapman says that careless driving is a lesser included offense of reckless driving, and it talks about the mental element, and it says the mental element of reckless driving likewise is negligence, but of a much higher, more aggravated degree, which some authorities once denominated as gross negligence. In both statutes, the essence of the mental element is disregard of safety in driving. In both, it is the absence of care which renders the driving criminal. Now, I obviously looked at big file, but I've looked at every case that there was. There is one case where the Court of Appeals in Washington had said in my brief, the Gospel case, said that indeed careless driving is a lesser included offense of vehicular assault, and I've cited it. So, the real problem, the real reason...
Are the statutes in Washington the same as the statutes in Colorado?
The statute in Washington says that careless driving is a lesser included offense of reckless driving.
Have that in Colorado.
Our court said it. Our Supreme Court said it. So, the difference is that our Supreme Court said that careless driving is a lesser included offense of reckless driving, and their legislature said careless driving is a lesser included offense of reckless driving. And their court made the leap, the rational decision is, okay, if careless driving is a lesser included offense of reckless driving, careless driving causing bodily injury is a lesser included offense of vehicular assault.
Reckless driving is statutorily different than vehicular assault reckless driving.
Reckless driving is driving in a reckless manner and causes an injury. No, driving in a reckless manner. That's
driving in a reckless manner.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with the Meade case, which sets forth a strict elements test in determining whether or not an offense is a lesser included offense of another offense?
I've read every case. I've read that case.
And in that case, the Supreme Court said that an offense is included in another one if establishing the greater offense's statutory elements necessarily establishes all the lesser offense's elements.
Okay.
And the vehicular assault reckless statute says that if a person operates or drives a motor vehicle in a reckless manner, etc. And the careless driving statute says that a person who drives a motor vehicle in a careless and imprudent manner, etc., is guilty of careless driving. What significance, if any, is there to the difference between the vehicular assault reckless statute providing operates or drives and the careless driving statute providing drives a motor vehicle without the word operates?
I would say none.
And why would you say that? Let me phrase it another way. Could a person operate a motor vehicle without driving it?
My answer would be this. This court has held that darn near anything constitutes driving. So I don't see how you could operate a motor vehicle when you're not driving. The way I looked it up, I always look up the case. I can't remember the name. It's the battery case. And the Court of Appeals held under the express consent law that where a person's car did not have, I think it didn't have a battery and it didn't have wheels, that was driving. So I think the words driving and operating are used interchangeably throughout the law.
Well, our Supreme Court has stated in some other cases that drive and operate have different meanings. In fact, the Supreme Court has said that drive means to exercise actual physical control over a motor vehicle, while operate is somewhat broader and connotes the action of causing something to occur or causing something to function, usually by direct personal effort. Now, taking into account those definitions provided by our Supreme Court, would you agree that operating is a broader definition than driving a vehicle?
Didn't you tell me that it's the reckless driving, the vehicular assault says operator drive? Yes. Okay, well, it's clear that Mr. Zweigart drove, okay? But if you tell me the Supreme Court says that operate means is a greater, means something else, fine. But under both the careless driving statute and the vehicular assault statute, the act of driving is in both statutes.
But you would only know that by looking at the evidence, correct? You wouldn't know that just by looking at the elements of the crimes.
Well, if it says operate or drive, doesn't that mean either one?
I guess that's what we're asking.
I think it means either one. And that would be my point. Okay?
But whether an offense is a lesser included offense is not dependent upon what actually happened in the particular case. It's dependent upon what are the elements of the offenses. And if you prove one, do you necessarily prove the other?
If you prove that Mr. Zweigart operated or drove, which is the vehicular assault statute, if you prove that, it includes the drive and the careless.
But the elements include operate. So if you...
Operator,
but the elements, we're looking at the elements, not what was proven with regard to Mr. Zweigart. The elements are operate or drive. So if you prove if the prosecution proves the offense of vehicular assault reckless, does it necessarily prove careless driving?
I believe it does.
Okay.
I believe it does. I'll save the rest of my time.
Thank you, Counselor. You have about 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
Excuse me. Good afternoon. I'm John Seidel, bar number 17633. I want to follow up on the court's questions about the difference between vehicular assault and careless driving. I agree, or I disagree, with opposing counsel. I think vehicular assault does include the verb operate, and it is possible to operate a vehicle without driving it. For example, suppose that my car is being worked on, or I have reason to know it's being worked on, and I go outside and the back end is jacked up, and I see that there's one of those crawler roller devices that people use to get in and out to work on cars. I get in and start the car without looking to see if someone's under there. It's very possible that I've operated the vehicle recklessly because I didn't bother to look to see who or what could be under there. So in that worldview and looking at it that way, then it's possible to commit vehicular assault and not commit careless driving. So ergo, the latter is not necessarily or not a lesser included under our statutory definition.
However, Mr. DiCola argues that because the vehicular assault reckless statute says operate or drive, that proving vehicular assault would necessarily include driving, which is the essential element of careless driving. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think the act, essentially the statute in vehicular assault, I mean, looked at the way that the questions were asked, the way I look at it is that there are two ways of committing vehicular assault. There are alternative means. There's operate or drive. And according to Your Honor's reading of the Supreme Court case, that they are different, then all the prosecution needs to do is prove one or the other, but not both. And because it's worded that way in the disjunctive, one could establish vehicular assault by operating recklessly and not driving recklessly. Looked at his way or looked at the way, any other answer means that you could, any crime that's phrased in the disjunctive in a statute means that the prosecution automatically proves every alternative means by proving one. And I don't think that's the way the law reads.
How do you deal with what the Supreme Court said when it said that operate is broader than drive? So it isn't one way to read that if you operate it, you necessarily drive, but if you drive, you don't necessarily operate it? I'm just wondering what that means when the Supreme Court says one term is broader than the other.
The way I look at it is when they say it's broader, that means that driving is partly overlaps, can be partly overlapping. If you look at it the way in terms of Venn diagrams, for example, you have a class of all actions that is operating, then you have a class of actions that is constitutes driving. I think what the court is saying is that you can have actions that constitute operating that are not driving. And I think what they're trying to say is that driving is all driving is encompassed within operating, but there are actions that are operating that do not constitute driving. So by establishing vehicular assault by operating a vehicle, you don't necessarily fall in that smaller class of driving. That's what I think they're trying to say.
You'd have to know what the evidence was to find out.
Possibly, but I think what they're when the court said what it said, I think they're saying that by looking at just the statute, we see that, or they've written that operating is broader than driving. You don't need to look at the evidence to see that they're not identical.
Now, counsel, are you familiar with People versus Crothers? That was a case where, a court of appeals case, where defendant was convicted of DUI and vehicular assault DUI. Vehicular assault DUI is also defined as operator drive, while DUI is drive only. And in that case, they held that the DUI was a lesser included offense, and they actually merged the convictions. How do you distinguish that from the present situation? I'm familiar with that.
Well, the name is familiar. The fact pattern is not. But, I mean, I don't remember the facts of the case, but I know I've cited that case for something or other. So, I think it's, if I remember right, one has to be driving under the influence to be convicted of the vehicular homicide based on that.
Vehicular assault DUI, right.
Vehicular assault DUI necessarily includes DUI, and both of them are based on driving. I'm not sure how I would approach.
Actually, I think not. I think the vehicular assault is operate or drive while under the influence, while as the DUI is simply driving.
Well, then arguably, I think maybe the court in that case may have either there wasn't a discussion about the difference between operate and drive, and maybe that wasn't brought to the court's attention, or maybe the court looked at, you know, the evidence and said there's no doubt that there was driving in this case, and therefore naturally, because based on the evidence, one includes the other, when in fact it should have said, well, but operate is perhaps broader, and therefore doing one doesn't necessarily establish the other. The problem I have with the opposing side's position is that, and this is one of the reasons I didn't really talk about Chapman that much, because Chapman is in the vehicle code or the traffic code. We're talking about vehicular assault. It's in the criminal code. Now, Chapman said that careless driving is included in reckless driving. Both of those statutes are in the vehicle code. And they said when reckless driving is charged, careless driving is included. That's at 557 P. Second at 1213. Well, vehicular assault's in the criminal code, and in 18.1501, the definitions of the mental states applicable to the various crimes in the code apply to offenses defined in this code, meaning recklessly, knowingly, intentionally, negligently, all apply to criminal code offenses, not necessarily to things that are in the traffic code. The criminal code doesn't include a definition of careless.
Does not.
But there is no careless mental state in the criminal code. And what I'm trying to say is that you can't read the careless as that thing is used in the traffic code to mean anything that's in the criminal code. Let's just say for a moment that carelessness is the same thing as negligence, criminal negligence. If that's the case, then every careless driving that results in someone's death is now a negligent homicide, because it's negligent conduct that resulted in someone's death. Now, it scares me to death to think that I could be driving down the road one day and I look at the radio to change the button, and in that instant, a child comes out chasing a ball, and I hit him. And he winds up either, you know, dead or maybe permanently injured. And what might have been careless on my part has now become turned into a felony, and it's become gross negligence, as that's as we use it. Well, what I meant to say was, if you look at negligence as it's defined in 18.1501, it says, let's see if I'll find my definition here. Failure to perceive a risk through a gross deviation from an ordinary, what the standard of care an ordinary person would use. Now, ordinary people change their radios all the time, and they do things a lot worse than that. They text, they drive, or they talk to people in their cars, they look in their rearview mirrors. But isn't that what you're saying is that all of those things automatically become a felony, or at least eligible for felony charging, when in the past, under our view, it would be just be careless driving.
But isn't that exactly what happened with respect to the victim DS here? There was a conviction for negligent homicide and careless driving resulting in death.
And I that is what happened, and I think that one could be grossly negligent, and I would say that if you're grossly negligent, you could be careless. You know, those two perhaps are the same, or at least one, sorry, careless might be included in gross negligence, but what I'm concerned about is the vehicular assaults. Vehicular assault requires recklessness. Now, that's in the criminal code. That means, if you look at the definition of recklessness, conscious disregard of a perceived risk. Negligence is a failure to perceive a risk that one should have perceived because of a gross deviation from the standard of care that an ordinary person would exhibit. If you linguistically and logically, those things are inconsistent. One cannot consciously disregard a risk and at the same time fail to perceive it. Now, the legislature has said, notwithstanding that inconsistency, the legislature says, look, whenever we have knowingly, we have recklessly and intentionally. Whenever we have recklessly, we have negligently. The legislature has decided that despite this, some inconsistency, or at least arguable inconsistencies in mental states in the criminal code, the legislature is making a judgment that when we establish a more culpable mental state, that will necessarily establish a less culpable mental state, despite the fact that linguistically they're inconsistent. That's fine. The legislature can do that. But they only did it for the criminal code. There's no indication that they did so for the traffic code. And my suggestion is that this court ought not to be carrying over that legislative ranking of crimes, despite their inconsistency, to a place where the legislature did not make that ranking.
Is there any published case, appellate case in Colorado, that either explicitly does that or explicitly says we shouldn't do that?
I'm not aware of any that say that we shouldn't, but, and there is a case by the name of Pena, and I think another one that came out just recently that cited the other side's brief by the name of, the name escapes me, but it's in there. But what I want to say now is that Pena does not change. Pena basically equated recklessness in our criminal code with reckless driving in the traffic code. Now, I'm not going to dispute how Pena came out, but I am going to say that Pena does not make careless driving a lesser-included vehicular assault. Why? Because recklessness is inconsistent with negligence, and it's also inconsistent with carelessness. I'm also going to suggest that carelessness is a lesser standard or less culpable than criminal negligence, which requires a gross deviation. And I want it. Carelessness is less than criminal negligence, but it's also inconsistent with recklessness. Carelessness is looking at your radio to change the button when, in theory, you should be looking at the road. That's different from gross deviation from a standard of care.
So if they're inconsistent, how does that play into the one of the defendants' arguments on appeal that the verdicts themselves are inconsistent?
I think what happens is under this view of things, the only inconsistency is that you've got a vehicular assault and a careless driving resulting in death for, I think it's DS, the boy, if I read the verdicts right. In that case, the court should vacate the conviction or keep the conviction that holds, that imposes the longest, greatest penalties and reflects the jury's finding of the more culpable mental state. And in addition, the careless driving resulting as death is, you know, that's a sentence, the death is a sentence enhancer, so we don't consider that for figuring out what the offense is. I was going to make the argument that Chapman overlooked the inconsistency between negligence and recklessness, even as it applies, you know, even those two things appear in the traffic code, but I am out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Seidel. Mr. DiCola?
Thank you.
I had found that one case, and so I was looking at it as quickly as I could over there, but I wanted to read this for a second. It's that Washington case, State versus Gostel, which is cited in my brief. And here they said, both Thompson and the state contends that Gostel could not have committed only the crime of negligent driving because it was undisputed that her driving proximately caused Berglund's injuries. The state's argument is based on a fair reading of the prong in two other cases. However, we are not persuaded that this analysis is sound. Both Thompson and Rogers assume that once it is established that the operator's culpable driving caused a serious injury, the only possible charge is vehicular assault. This assumption is illogical. The elements constituting vehicular assault are serious injury plus the culpable behavior of driving in a reckless manner. Serious injury plus the culpable behavior of driving in a negligent manner does not amount to vehicular assault. The fact that Gostel's driving caused Berglund's injuries does not rule out the possibility that her only offense was driving in a negligent manner. And that's, I think, what I'm saying here, that Mr. Zweigart drove in a negligent manner. That's what he did. He drove in a negligent manner. And the jury found that he drove carelessly on the two most serious of charges. And I think that when you say operating is greater, it certainly means that careless driving is lesser. I think that's what it means. And the only charge available where somebody drives in a careless manner and causes a serious bodily injury is careless driving causing bodily injury. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both, counsel, for your arguments. Case will stand submitted. We'll issue an opinion in due course.